My dear friends, in Jesus, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior. Again, the words of the epistle reading, especially focusing on James chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, James writes, "If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin, and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it." This is God's Word. Please be seated. I'd like to begin this morning by showing you a video of a once-in-a-lifetime event. Actually, for most of us, this will be a never-in-a-lifetime event. So let's watch that video if we can make it go.
Look at this. Look at this.
Get in the wall.
Oh! Get in.
There's the man and the moment.
Oh, the audio is what makes it good.
Look at the landmark. Here we go.
Naturally, he's jumping and
swinging around. Look at the landmark.
Crazy.
And let's look at the ball. Nice done, Mr. Martell.
Someone's got to tell me when this thing's over.
Okay, be grabbing that shit.
There's the audio. Well, we missed the part where they were jumping and screaming and hollering because you got a hole in one. Get over it. There it is.
Look at this.
Get in the hole.
Oh! Get in.
Yeah! There's the man and the moment. Look at the landmark. There you go. Look at the landmark.
Crazy.
And let's look at the ball. Nice done, Mr. Martell.
Okay, be grabbing that shit.
You good?
Grab it.
Beautiful.
That's awesome.
I actually came pretty close to a hole-in-one this summer. And it so happened that it was at the Stephanie Kosow golf outing. More amazingly, it was on one of the holes that was designated for closest to the pin, which I didn't even know at the time I teed up the ball. And it's a good thing, because if I'd have known it, I'd have blown it. But I teed up on number 8 and I swung the club, and man, the ball just came off the club so nice and looked really good. And the thing landed about a foot and a half from the cup. And I even got a little prize for it that day. I got $20 and a box of golf balls, as though I had done a good thing. But the truth is, I can't think of anyone who is less deserving of a prize in the game of golf than I am. Because honestly, a good shot here and there does not make a good golfer. Truthfully, I am a lousy golfer. Sure, I hit a good shot on number 8, but you know what happened next, right? I teed it up on number 9, and I hit a short, sharp slice right off into the woods, which is the way I usually golf. That's the real me. And you don't believe for a moment that the man we just saw in that video is now touring with the pros, do you? Because he got off one good shot. A good shot once in a while does not make a good golfer. Nor does a good deed once in a while make a good person. At least according to James. Let's see what James says. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. That's the royal law that comes to us from the King of Kings. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep that royal law according to the scriptures, you've done a good thing. But that's a big if. James here is using a very good debate tactic. He is going to concede the small stuff in order to make his bigger point. Because apparently there were some folks in James's audience who believed that they were doing some good things in the name of Jesus. Or to use the golf analogy, they were getting off a few good shots here and there. And they liked to boast. You have your faith, I have my good works. And so James concedes the point. He says, all right, if you do a few good things for your neighbor, according to the royal law of love, good for you. You got off a good shot or two. I'll concede that for the sake of the argument. But then he goes on to say, but what good is that if the next 500 shots you make are missing altogether? You're slicing them off into the woods. You're duffing them. You're hitting them into the water hazards. You boast about your good shots, but the next thing you know, you're missing all your shots right and left. You say you do these good things, these good works, but then you discriminate between the rich and the poor in your congregation, and you show favoritism to the rich. Have the best seat, while the poor person stand off over there in the corner. And you dismiss the poor and the hungry. You say, be warm, my friend, and be well fed. And you send him away as if your words can warm his body and your words can fill his belly. That, says St. James, is sin. Sin isn't just what we do that's wrong to each other. It's what we fail to do that we should be doing. And even if we do a good thing along the way, just one sin, James says, just one failure makes you a transgressor of the whole royal law to love your neighbor as yourself. And so St. James says, if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. Forever, whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. A few good golf shots amidst countless bad shots does not make a good golfer. And a few good deeds amidst innumerable failures does not make me a good person. Not in the eyes of God, anyway, whose standard of behavior is absolute perfection. So what is James getting at? It sounds like he's saying salvation is almost impossible. I cannot keep the royal law of love perfectly any more than I can get a hole in one on every hole of golf that I play. And St. James says, faith by itself, if it does not have the works, is dead. That's kind of scary. But perhaps another little illustration will help you to understand what James is getting here, and this is where getting at here, and this is where the apple trees come in. There's a little picture of a guy golfing under an apple tree. If I golfed at apple tree orchards instead of white pines, that's where I would be. I'd be under the apple tree trying to hit a golf ball. But let me use this illustration. Can a tree that produces no apples properly boast of itself that it is an apple tree? James would say no. Apple trees produce apples. It's just what apple trees do. It's their nature to produce apples. And if the tree produces no apples, it's not really an apple tree. Not that the apples make the tree what it is, but the apples are the proof that the tree is in fact an apple tree. The fruit justifies its claim to be an apple tree. Now, apply that same thinking to us, as James does. Can a person who produces no good works claim that he or she is Christian? No. Christians produce good works. It's just what Christians do. It is in their new nature to produce good works. And if a person produces no good works, they are not really Christian. Not that the good works make us Christians, but the good works are proof that we are, in fact, Christian. The good works justify our claim to the Christian faith. And in that sense, James is right. Good works justify us. because they prove that the faith we claim is genuine. That's why in Matthew chapter 25, in the great judgment scene, Jesus points to the good works that the people did as proof that they are worthy of salvation. I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was in prison, you visited me. I was sick, you came to me. And he points to those things, the fruits of their lives, as the evidence that they are worthy of salvation. Not that those works saved them, but the fruit is the evidence that the tree is genuine. And the good works we do are the evidence that our faith is real. So it really can be said, like James says, faith without works is dead. But on the other hand, I will show you my faith by what I do. In all of this, James reminds us in verse 7 that it is still the name by which we were called that saves us, and that is the name of Jesus. Prior to any good work that we might have done, God did a much greater work through His Son. Showing absolutely no favoritism except that He loved the poor of spirit, and that's all of us. He gave up His life for all of us. As Paul says, though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you, through His poverty, might be rich. No, James does not nullify the gospel. James only carries the gospel through to its logical conclusion in our living. If Jesus so loved us poor, miserable sinners that He would make Himself poor so that we could be rich in the gifts of God, then faith in Jesus, genuine faith in Jesus, must do likewise. Now we see people through a different lens. Now we see each other as Jesus sees us. Not as materially rich or poor or white or black or male or female or Jew or Gentile or any of these other earthly distinctions we make. We see that everyone is a poor beggar before God. We are all desperately in need of the riches of His grace. And as those who have received that grace, we start to see not only our neighbors in a new way, but we see all of life in a new way. Life is about 80 years or so of an opportunity to serve God in my neighbor. And by my good works of love, to extend the love of God to my neighbor. And those are the works that justify God's judgment, His gracious judgment, that we are indeed the children of God. After all, what is it that makes me good in God's eyes? It's not that I get off a good deed once in a while amidst the countless terrible things I do. Only the blood of Jesus can outweigh all of the awful things I've said and done and thought. What makes me good is the goodness of Jesus in me. And what makes you good is the goodness of Jesus that covers your life like a garment of righteousness. But what proves us to be good and what justifies God's gracious judgment of us are our good works. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, You made us righteous by Your sacrifice and by calling us to faith. And You have now prepared for us to do good works that we might show forth Your love to this world. Lord, help us to see every opportunity for a good work that You place before us and to seize that opportunity that Your judgment of us as Your children might be justified and that we might honor You. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.